Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems 4Q CY14 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Vora from Motilal Oswal Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vora.
Thank you, Margaret. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I welcome all participants to R Systems Q4 CY2014 earnings conference call. Today from the management, we have with us Mr. Rekha Singh, Managing Director, retired Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, President and Senior Executive Director, Mr. Raj Swaminathan, COO and Director, Mr. Nand Sardana, CFO, and Mr. Kumar Gaurav, General Manager, Finance. Now I would like to invite Mr. Gaurav to announce the disclaimer statement and take the call forward. Over to you, Mr. Kumar.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for attending R Systems investor call to discuss Q4 and year 2014 results. I am going to first read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains forward-looking statement that involves risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such forward-looking statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future event, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievements could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now with this, I am handing over to Mr. Rekha for his opening comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being part of this investor call for the fourth quarter and for the year ending 2014. First of all, I would like to give you a brief overview of R Systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us for the first time. R Systems was established in 1993 in California and is now spread across four continents with 11 development and service centers worldwide. We provide software engineering services, especially in the area of outsourced product development. We also provide business process outsourced services. We focus on a few verticals, which are telecom, banking, finance, internet media, manufacturing and state governments, healthcare. Over the past two decades, we have emerged as a strong value creator in the industry. We compare ourselves to the oyster delivering the pearl. Our tagline is caring, innovating, and transforming, and it is this philosophy that helps us provide value to our customers and to our stakeholders. Coming to the performance in the year 2014, we have reported revenue of rupees 648 crores with organic growth of about 9%. Our EBITDA is rupees 90 crores with an increase of 14.5% against last year. Our net profit after tax is approximately rupees 78 crores with an EPS of rupees 6.14 per share. This includes exceptional profit of rupees 18.5 crores, primarily on the sale of our Europe BPO business. Volume growth from existing as well as new customers, coupled with its discipline and execution and higher license revenue, led to improved margins. We are also able to maintain healthy utilization around 75%. Rupee depreciation has helped our margins during 2014. We serve 150+ customers, including $27 million+ accounts. We added 20 good clients over the year. Telecom and digital media continues to be our largest vertical, industry vertical, with approximately 34% of our share of revenues followed by BFSI, which accounts for 15% of our revenues. Further, we have completed divestment of the on-site European BPO business. This divestment enables us to improve our focus on our core businesses. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of Rs. 213 crores and cash and bank balances of about Rs. 109 crores. Considering the overall performance and cash reserves, the board has proposed a final dividend of Rs. 0.95 per share, in addition to earlier declared dividends of Rs. 4.9 per share. The final dividend is subject to approval of the shareholders. I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis. Nand.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of quarter four and year 2014. I'll first give my comments on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Mr. Reki, which will be followed up by Raj's comment on the operations, and then finally coming up by Mr. Reki, and then Q&A session. The presentation gives detail of both Q4 and year 2014. I'll quickly cover Q4 and then move on to 2014. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was Rs. 163.05 crores, or $26.31 million, a quarter-on-quarter decline of 3.24% and year-on-year decline of 1.51%. Q4 is mainly impacted by lesser billable days due to holidays and sale of Europe BPO business. Getting on to gross margin, it was 35.62% in Q4 compared to 37.86% in Q3, a decline of 2.24%. The main reason for the decline is impact of lesser billable days, 99 basis points, declining licensing revenue, 55 basis points, declining utilization, 54 basis points, and increasing travel and other costs, 16 basis points. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses decreased quarter-on-quarter by Rs. 95 lakhs. It was Rs. 35.9 crore in Q4 compared to 36.94 crore in Q3. The decline is mainly due to sale of Euro BPO business. EBITDA in Q4 was Rs. 22.09 crore or $3.56 million compared to 26.87 crore or $4.43 million in Q3. And it was 29.28 crore or $4.83 million in Q4 last year. As percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 13.54% this quarter compared to 15.94% last quarter and 17.69% in Q4 last year. The main reason for decline in EBITDA compared to last year are lesser billable days, lower utilization, and lesser licensing. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was Rs. 2.86 crores compared to Rs. 2.85 crores last quarter and Rs. 2.282 crores in Q4 last year. Exceptional item comprised of profit on sale of Europe BPO business of Rs. 22.40 crores. Interest expense is Rs. 2.7 lakh in Q4 as compared to 2.6 lakh last quarter. Other income in Q4 was positive Rs. 1.79 crore compared to Rs. 1.46 crore last quarter. This quarter, we had written back all creditors and other claims of Rs. 73 lakhs. The exchange loss was Rs. 19 lakhs as compared to exchange gain of Rs. 64 lakhs last quarter. As at Q4, we have total power cover of $14.75 million with average rate of 64.90 and euro cover of 1.20 million with average rate of 82.69. This has already been marked to market at closing date of 31st December. Further, the other income was augmented by interest income of Rs. 1.25 crore this quarter compared to Rs. 77 lakh last quarter due to increased corpus. Our tax expense was Rs. 11.76 crores, including Rs. 5.50 crores for exception items this quarter as against 9.85 crores last quarter. Effective tax percentage for the quarter is lower due to lower tax rate on capital gains. Net profit after tax was Rs. 31.63 crore or $5.14 million compared to Rs. 18.21 crores or $3 million last quarter. Coming on to yearly numbers, revenue for the year was record Rs. 648.50 crores or $106.27 million. Year-on-year growth is 8.80%. The breakup for 8.80% increase were increase in volume 4.22%, rupee appreciation 4.69%, increase in license revenue 73 basis points. This was offset by sale of European BPO business impacting 84 basis points. Getting down to gross margin, it was at 36.28% this year compared to 36.76% last year, a decline of 48 basis points. The main reason for declining gross margin was impact of changing COGS salary 2.46%. This was offset by increasing utilization 1.10%, rupee depreciation 43 basis points, and increasing license revenue 44 basis points. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses have increased by rupees 4.70 crore. It is rupees 145.21 crore this year as against rupees 140.50 crore last year. As percentage of revenue, SG&A was 22.39% this year compared to 23.57% last year. This is a reduction of 1.18%. Main reason for absolute increase in SG&A was rupee depreciation, increasing SG&A staff salaries and travel expenses, increasing sales commission due to increased revenues. This was offset by decreased provision for doubtful debt as compared to last year and decreased due to sale of Europe BPO business. EBITDA in 2014 was rupees 90.05 crore or $14.76 million compared to 78.65 crore or $13.43 million last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 13.89% this year compared to 13.19% last year. This year, we had the highest EBITDA on the back of volume increase from existing and new customers, improved utilization coupled with depreciation of rupee. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 11.25 crores compared to 10.17 crores last year. Additional depreciation is resulted of capex incurred on modernization of infrastructure. Exceptional item comprised of profit on sale of Europe BPO business of rupees 22.40 crores and rupees 2.6 crores on foreign exchange fluctuation on account of buyback of shares of Computares, our volume subsidiary. Interest expense of rupees 11.70 lakh in 2014 compared to rupees 12.30 lakh last year. Other income in 2014 was rupees 8.72 crore compared to rupees 3.48 crore last year. This year we had an exchange gain of rupees 1.75 crore compared to exchange loss of rupees 1.18 crore last year. During the year 2014, rupee fluctuated between rupees 58.39 to rupees 63.86 against US dollar and rupees 76.12 to rupees 86.67 against euro. These are the two main currencies for our system. Average rupee rate has depreciated by 4.18% against the US dollar and 4.0% against euro. Further, the other income was augmented by steady interest income of rupees 4.20 crore this year compared to rupees 4.04 crore last year. We have been able to maintain our average purpose due to cash generated from operations. Our tax expense was rupees 34.29 crore this year as against tax of rupees 19.13 crore last year. Effective tax percentage for 2014 is 30.50% as against 26.63% during last year. Effective tax rate has increased in spite of lower tax rate for capital gains, as this year we had higher profit at our USA and Europe subsidiary, which in last year had past carryover losses. Net profit after tax was rupees 78.13 crore or $12.80 million compared to rupees 52.70 crore or $9 million last year. EPS for year was rupees 6.14 per share compared to 4.18 per share last year. Board of Directors of the company has proposed a final dividend of rupees 0.95 per share subject to shareholders approval. Getting down to asset side of the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of December 14 were rupees 125.08 crores compared to rupees 104.09 crores at the end of December 2013. Receivable in terms of DSO were 55 days as at December 14 and 56 days as at the end of December 2013. This is resultant of improved realization and timing of billing. Cash and bank balance were rupees 109.82 crore compared to rupees 111.52 crore at the end of December 13. We have been able to maintain our cash reserve despite the payment of dividend, tax rate, and capex through cash generated from operations. Our system shareholder fund was ₹213.11 crore at the end of December 14 compared to ₹231.76 crore at the end of December 2013. With that, let me hand over to Raj for his review of operations.
Thank you, Nand. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. Let me give you a brief flavor of operations, our customers, and the projects that we are engaged in across global operations. I think this quarter we once again demonstrated the strength and diversity of our service offerings and our geographical presence across global markets. As Ricky was mentioning in his opening comments, we are focused on the telecom vertical, the banking and financial services vertical, a growing state government business offering, healthcare and security and manufacturing. In terms of the key customers that we added over this last quarter, we added about 20 customers in all this quarter, of which 8 of them were key customers. From our product lifecycle management business, we added 2 significant customers. One was a USA-based prepaid cards provider that engaged with us to revamp their website, redesigning, re-architecting, and layering of applications using contemporary technologies. A significant second customer win this quarter was a UK-based company which serves some of the world's leading brands, and we are helping them in service delivery and software development in terms of customer automation management to automate the entire order-to-cash processes. From a product business, essentially from the Indus Financial Services product business, we've achieved 2 significant wins, one in the banking and financial services space, another in the telecom arena. One of Saudi Arabia's largest telecom operators has mandated us to implement the Indus credit management and collection system to manage its customer acquisition, exposure management, and bill collection process. Similarly, one of Africa's largest banking companies has selected Indus Lending Solutions for its Zambia business. The solution will address the end-to-end requirements for its lending business. One of the significant improvements in our business that we have seen over the last year is more and more of our customers has mandated us for our end-to-end solution across the lending life cycle over the last couple of years, which endorses the sophistication and the maturity of our lending product and its acceptance in the market. From our Europe telecom business, a leading mobile telecom company in Austria has engaged a European subsidiary to deliver IT services for service delivery platform on the Rhino technology. From our ACNet business, a Malaysia-based leading foam and rubber components manufacturer has engaged our Singapore subsidiary to implement a comprehensive ERP solution for which we have been engaged. So this gives you a flavor of the diversity of our engagements across our global markets. In terms of dissecting our operations by geography and by client concentration, by geography, U.S. contributes 57% of our business, Europe about 23%, and the rest of the world, which is Africa, Middle East, and South Asia, together contribute about 20% of our geographic breakdown. In terms of client concentration, it is roughly the same, with about the top 10 clients contributing about 31%, and with the largest client at about 5.8%. In terms of staff additions, for this quarter, as Nando's mentioning, based on the US BPO sale, Europe BPO sale, where we excluded 124 associates, we are at this point in time at about 2,245 billable headcounts across the company. Our utilization is roughly the same at about 75%. That really gives you a broad flavor and summary of our global operations, the customers and clients, and our operations. Summary of where we are. With that brief overview, I'll hand you back to Ricky for his closing comments.
Thank you, Raj. Let me sum up. We have had a satisfactory year with profitable growth. We will continue our focus on our core services to achieve growth and margin improvement in 2015. Year 2015 looks promising on the back of our enhanced knowledge in our industry domains and verticals, and because of our strong sales funnel in all business units. During 2015, we'll
continue our focus to be a value creator for our customers with industry-specific and innovative services and solutions. We are investing in branding and marketing to highlight our strengths for future growth. We are intensifying our efforts to sharpen our competencies, client-centric offerings, and robust infrastructure to build a value creator services that innovates for consistent, profitable growth. We will continue to be the oyster, delivering the pearl. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and I will hand you back to the organizers for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Mohan Krishnaswamy. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congrats on a good quarter. The status on where we are as regards the Indus process, because we had put it on a slump sale. So where have we progressed on that? And second is really on the growth. If you just look back 6 to 7 quarters back also, we were running at a run rate of about $26-27 million on a quarterly basis. We're still around those numbers while we have sold some businesses, but what is the real effort to take these numbers forward and basically the growth? Is there anything, any opportunities we're missing? Because many of the bigger companies seem to be growing at a faster pace.
Thank you, Mr. Krishnaswamy. On the Indus, we continue to evaluate opportunities for sale of the unit. There are some places we are talking to, looking at, but things are not fully cooked as yet.
Sure.
On the growth, we understand what you're saying. We are looking at two areas. One is the organic and the inorganic growth. On the organic side, we are increasing our sales staff, and we're also increasing certain domain specialists so that our value in this value and our knowledge in this domains increase. We believe that will help us grow faster in the organic side. On the organic side, there are a couple of companies on the radar. Again, they are not cooked. A deal is not done till it is done. But that is something which we are also pursuing.
But is there anything materially different in terms of service lines which you could look at organically also to offer? Because there's clearly a lot of growth in certain standard verticals which we may not be present right now.
Yes, we are also always evaluating new verticals. I mean, there are verticals like and horizontals like predictive analytics. We continue to look at that. But the existing verticals have a lot also, and I think we continue to increase our knowledge in those areas. We are hiring some specialists, and that will help us grow in those verticals. There's a lot of market untapped in those areas as yet.
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a
question. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Vora from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, just wanted to ask that we had a year of very high dividend payout. So we had around 5.85 rupees payout of 6.15 of earnings. I know there are quite a few special dividends in this. So what can we expect on a sustainable basis to be a dividend payout going forward?
Siddharth, if you notice, the fourth interim dividend, which we announced in December, that was a special dividend that was at the back of cash generated from the sale of BPO. I think that's a special dividend. Rest is kind of a normal dividend out of the existing profits, non-exceptional profits. So excluding that, I think other than 2.55 is a normal dividend.
So on a sustainable basis, what can be the dividend payout ratio which we can assume the company will follow?
See, it will depend on two, three points. First, of course, is the profit generated, and second is the availability of cash. Assuming, we have been generating around 22 to 23 crore rupees. Our EBITDA this year is 90 crore rupees. If the same kind of generation continues, which hopefully will be, so we will like to distribute reasonable dividend next year as well.
And we evaluate at the time also, because we evaluate the need of capital and the best use of capital at that time before we declare the dividends. So probably we don't have a standard, we cannot give standard guidance for future, but we are a dividend friendly company.
Maintain a 40 to 50% ratio, that would be a good guidance, maybe.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And sir, we announced a buyback plan, so any update on that? How much have we bought back or what have we used?
Yeah. Siddharth, we announced a buyback plan 2 months before. The total buyback size, as you know, is 6 crore rupees. We have already bought close to 1.05 or 1.06 crore rupees. The buyback is going to end sometime end June. So we still have time, so we will be completing it, as per the timeline.
Okay, that is helpful, sir. And sir, this quarter we had a huge cross-currencies movement. So any number which you could give which impacted a USD top line because of the cross-currencies?
Yeah, in fact, if you notice on the exchange for on a quarterly basis, just give me a check. See, out of... quarter-quarter decrease of 3.24%. In fact, what has happened is that there is a rupee depreciation in dollar terms, which is close to 2.24%. However, euro has a negative impact. Euro got weakened by 3.66%, and Singapore also got weakened, so is GBP. So the net impact of that is 0.6% on a positive side. On a revenue front, when we analyze our revenue, the impact is coming to only 0.03%. So you're right, USD appreciated, but Euro depreciated, and it's kind of a mixed cross-currency kind of situation this quarter.
So if I would have seen a year-on-year USD dollar number, it would have been higher in terms of constant currency, definitely.
Yes, on a year-on-year basis, if you see, the rupee depreciation impact is minus 1.75%. I'm comparing this quarter with the quarter last year, same quarter last year. This has it is negative 1.75%.
Okay, sure, sir. And in terms of we exited our BPO business, so how has it impacted our revenues and how will it appear in the revenues going forward?
Yes, Siddharth, this quarter, the decline of 3.24% quarter on quarter, out of that, 2.98% is because of that sale of Europe BPO business. See, the sale was concluded on November 27th. So, around 32, 33 days revenue is coming to around 2.98% that has impacted.
Okay. And so the entire impact is seen this year itself. The next year, we don't have any impact from the BPO.
No, there will be an impact next year. The sale was concluded on November 27th. So this year, this quarter impact is for, as I said, 32 days. But the whole 11-month impact will come next year.
What will be the European BPO for the year 14, which won't be there for 15?
Yes. See, it's going close to $7.5 million impact. Last year, 2014, around $7.5 million was on account of Europe BPO. So to that extent, next year it won't be there.
So even seeing that revenue decline, we expect to grow on a double-digit basis for maybe 15?
Sure, we will try our best. And as Mr. Ricky said, we are having organic as well as inorganic growth plans as well. So we'll try to kind of grow to the best.
And sir, the improvement from this exit, how should we see that improvement in margins going forward?
See, the Europe BPO business had EBITDA close to, 8.5-9%, whereas the company-wide EBITDA is 13.89%, as you would have seen.
Correct.
So, dilution of that is going to impact EBITDA in percentage terms.
So, we should see improvement in margins because of the absence of this revenue going forward?
Yes, between maybe 0.5 to 0.8% is my ballpark assessment.
That is helpful. And sir, next quarter we'll be announcing our wage hikes. Have we decided the number, quantum?
Pardon?
In the first quarter, we announce our wage hikes normally, correct?
Yes, yes.
So have we decided on the average
yes.
Wage hike?
And yes, see, the wage hike every year in India we have to do. In fact, we have to do in the other territories also. But in India, a wage hike between 7-8% we have to do every year. And other than India also, though the rate percentage are less, so we have already done that and it's going to impact our Q1 numbers as well.
So Q1 number, we can expect maybe a 300 basis points decline from the wage hike?
I cannot give you the exact number 300, but there will be some impact. I can't give you the number right now. It's around.
So it's based on our historic performance. So we have seen.
Between 2-2.5% is what I think, between 2-2.5%.
Thank you. And in that, in our inorganic motives, what is our main thought process? Is it acquisition of clients or maybe capabilities or expansion in new geographies?
I think a mix of that. Definitely, we need clients to grow the business, and also, as Mr. Reshi said, if we prefer our existing verticals, but even if we get in some good verticals where we see we can do a profitable growth, so we'll be willing for. We are open for that. It depends how it fits in and how it synergizes with our existing businesses.
Okay. And sir, in terms of we saying that our sales funnel is quite strong for this year, so if you could give some comparison in terms of how it was last year and how it is this year?
Well, you see, funnel is a funnel, as you know. But, we feel positive compared to last year. Our funnel is definitely stronger. And as you know, client acquisition is a process, takes some time.
Hello?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Vora. We seem to have lost the line. Request you to stay connected while we reconnect the line.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience and time. We have the line of the management reconnected. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, Siddharth, did I answer your question?
Sir, I missed that part. So you were answering the difference between last year and this year in terms of a sales funnel. How different?
Yeah, sales funnel is strong, Siddharth. Compared to last year, definitely we feel more positive about it. But as I said that, it takes some time to convert pipeline into actual sales. But we feel very positive about our sales funnel.
Okay. Sir, in terms of our deal sizes, have they moved anyway in terms of the last year and this year? The deal sizes which we are competing for?
Yeah, it's growing. I mean, it's improving. But you see, what happens is that, as you know, we have different businesses. Like in OPD business, deal size start with a small, but then slowly, grows to higher numbers. Similarly, in our Indus business and other businesses, like in computers and Indus, deal size are normally strong, like $1 million to $2 million. But in our OPD business, it starts with a small and then grows, by the passage of time.
Sure, sir. So,
but we feel the deal size, to answer your question, yes, there is an improvement in the size compared to previous periods.
In terms of our margins, we'll also expect to improve from this. Do we have a range in our mind in terms of what we try and achieve?
Siddharth, on the margin front, there are two, three levers, as you know, everybody knows it. See, the first is the exchange rate. This time, this year, we ended US dollar, I'm talking about US dollar term, average of 61 rupees. Okay. Now, if there is an improvement in the exchange rate, it's going to help and improve our margin. But suppose it goes down, then it will have, you know, a negative impact to that extent. And the other the lever with us is utilization. We are already at 74-75%. There is not much scope, maybe 1-1.5% scope is there. But, you know, it depends, you know, when we have to start new projects, especially a big project, we have to hire resources and take time to kind of ramp up and all that. And the third important lever what we have is a license fee which we get in our product businesses. But that gets a little lumpy in some quarter when it comes and it improves. So, exchange rate is not in our control, but having said that, we feel that we should be able to at least maintain these margins.
Sure, sir. So, in terms of in the coming year, we have a headwind in terms of exit of BPO, but the growth looks good for a double digit, so we can take care of that BPO downfall as well, and over and above that, good.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should be able to take care.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all our participants, please press star and one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavuk Tripathi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well, Mr. Tripathi.
Yeah, so my question was regarding this quarter. Again, the standalone numbers as far as EBITDA and all is concerned. So maybe Nand can reconfirm. The difference between the standalone EBITDA and the consolidated EBITDA is minimal. So can you just throw some light on that? So, and then the last time you had mentioned, I think there were figures given for Indus as operational results of Indus. But I think either that was part of your slump sale.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Siddharth?
Yes.
Hi. Actually, we do not see you connected to the view Q&A link.
Yeah, it's off, so I was also worried. Okay.
So, Margaret just wanted to check with you. She'll make one more announcement. And if no one comes, should we close or should she wait for some more time?
She can ask the management that there are no...
Okay. Fine. Okay, take care. Joining you back.
So that is a major concern, and we'd rather it be a growth-driven company than a high dividend yield. You know, utility plays are more like high dividend yield. We are expecting this to be a technology company that is on a high-driven growth path. So these are some of the questions that need to be addressed. So I would like you to first talk about the consolidated versus the standalone, and also the Indus numbers, and then general, I think you've already mentioned that you're looking at acquisitions and this and that. But overall, I would like to reiterate that given what we are doing, paying out more cash than we are generating in a year in terms of dividend, and given the tax, if you take the tax that you're paying on that, and but that sounds like a company that's looking to, you know, put up its boots and sit down and relax. So I would like some management views on that.
Okay, Babu, first to answer your number question on, the numbers, the profit numbers for console, how it's comprised out. If you notice, the console profit is 78.13 crores. Out of that, the standalone profit is 36.67 crores. When I say standalone, that's Noida and Indus put together. The subsidiary company profit is 22.90 crores. And the balance 18.48 crore is because of the exceptional sale of Central Europe business. Primarily, there is some buyback of computer risk around 2 crore because of that. So, 78, I give you the bifurcation of 78 crores. Okay? Is that okay?
No, I'm talking about the quarter four. Forget okay. The whole year. Let's talk about quarter four and you take out the exceptional. You take out the exceptional line. So, if you go into your standalone and consolidated results, and talk about the EBITDA level of both. So forget, because the other exceptional items we don't talk about. So the EBITDA at the standalone level from, if I remember correctly, I mean, you can give me the exact figures, and then the consolidated level. Then we can talk about those.
Bhavuk, right now readily I am having number based on PAT numbers. I can give you EBITDA numbers later, but PAT number readily I have. The control profit this quarter is 31.63 crore. The standalone profit is 6.7 crore. The subsidiary company profit is 8.05 crore. And the profit on sale of Cento business is 16.68 crore. This comes to 31.63 crore. Now the standalone profit of 30.81, there are some items which are not coming in control. Like I tell you, there was a write-off of investment earlier made. It has been written down. So that is actually not a control entry. That's a standalone entry. And
oh, repeat that. No. You're saying that something has been written down?
No. Bhavish, you remember in 2009, there was a 8 crore...
No, that I understand. So that is that you've written back. I'm talking EBITDA. Okay, I can tell you if the the difference between standalone EBITDA and consolidated EBITDA is not more than 1 or 2 crores, is when I saw the...
Let me complete, Bhavu. What I'm saying is that in standalone, there are certain entries which are not in control. For example, one entry is that, you see, we wrote off investment of Cento in 2009. When we sold it, this entry is written back. This entry is coming in standalone, but not in control. So that's what I'm saying. So to that extent, this 30.81 figure is, there is an 8 crore figure for that. And secondly, before concluding the Cento Europe sale, we took some dividend from Cento. Like the total money available, as I explained in the last call also, was 5.2 million. Out of that, 800,000 we took in the form of dividend. That's not coming in control, but that's coming in standalone. So just to just to summarize the whole picture to you, as I just now said, for Q4 2014, total profit of 31.63. Out of the standalone is 6.70 crores, subsidy profit is 8.05 crores, and the exceptional profit is 16.68 crores. If you want, I can send an email to you explaining the difference between standalone and control, because as I said, some of the items are not coming.
I think simpler answer to me would be, like I think you mentioned, but maybe I'm not able, the line is not very clear, but did you mention consolidated profit for the quarter? I mean, for standalone. Standalone is SomaTex, let's say. What is the consolidated between, that is, I would say, the whatever part of Cento in the quarter working, ECNet, and the America operations. What are the EBITDA numbers for that?
Sure. I can send you that. I don't have readily available with me. I can send you a reconciliation for that.
Okay. And because that seems to be on the lower side. Is that true that it is on the lower side this year compared to last year?
No, see, the profit is lower compared to last year, last quarter. You're talking quarter or year now?
No, year, because I'm trying to compare. Even if we were to write off the part which Cento contributed, let's say Cento was only for 25 days or something. So let's say, is it on a comparative basis, have ECNet and your US subsidiary and Computeris, have they delivered a growth over last year?
Yeah. Bhavuk, on yearly basis, the Cento EBITDA, okay, let's talk EBITDA right now. The Cento EBITDA on yearly basis is 784,000 and last year it was around 800,000. So that 1 month impact is there, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. What about Computeris and
okay, Computeris EBITDA this year is 2.07 million. Last year, it was 1.25 million.
So, what is the growth?
The growth is close to around 50% on EBITDA basis.
Okay.
So,
that is, do you see that continue? So, Computeris is performing well, would you say?
Yes. This time, Computeris has performed well. Their EBITDA is close to 12% compared to 8.5% last year. Last year, what had happened was that there were some third-party hardware and software orders which had a very, very low margin. But this time, more of the revenue is from the project business, especially one of the telecom ISP and some telecom operators. They got some good orders. So the revenue compared to last year is almost flat, but from a profit front, they have done well this year.
Okay. So what about ECNet?
ECNet revenue has grown by around, last time it was around 8.8, this time it is 9.1 million. On a EBITDA basis, it is close to $150,000. Last time it was, I think, around 250. So, it's a bit of a kind of positive.
So, from what you tell me, right, year after year, there is an underperformance from ECNet. I mean, it's an abysmal growth. From 8.8 going to 9.1 is like 3 or 4% of growth. EBITDA is going down. If you're looking to sell any assets, why shouldn't that be one of the first? Because it is pulling the company down. You're owning assets which are not growing, and their EBITDA margins also not holding up. So what is it? If there was strategic benefit of holding ECNet, then it should show in other numbers. We should be getting some cross sales. So what is the logic behind holding on to ECNet and selling off other parts of the business that are growing? So then maybe you can highlight what Indus has done in the last quarter. So that gives me a better idea that how are the Indus numbers for the last quarter? Hello?
Bhavuk, you put two questions here. One is the ECNet issue, and the other is the Indus performance. Coming back to the Indus, we are continuing again to make it more profitable. But, you know, that is our footprint into the Southeast Asian market. And you are also very...
You're saying ECNet. That you're talking about ECNet, right, now?
Right, ECNet.
I heard you say Indus. So ECNet.
I meant ECNet. So that is a footprint into the Southeast Asian market. And, you know, you are also in this market. It is not an easy proposition to sell ECNet. That is another challenge you have. So we are actually working on improving it and making it grow better and get better profitability. On the
what I'm saying that look at the footprint we have had now for let's say 7-8 years. Okay, now how if we can see the tangible benefits of that footprint, that means we are doing better in that geography, or there is something that we are getting out of it that is tangible. Then it's understandable, but I'm sure at some price there will always be a buyer. But all I'm trying to say is that is the weak link in our chain. Everything else, from all angles, like now your subsidiary in the US is also performing well, Computerus is performing well, Indus also now surprisingly for the last couple of quarters is performing well. So the one laggard which has been always thing is ECNet. So I think either we should do something radical with that, move up the value chain rapidly on that, or, you know, we must look at some option, because as Cento was a low, it recovered rapidly from 2009-2010, it started making money again. But ECNet, for some reason, is very difficult to flog that horse, it appears. So, that's one view. Now, I'm sure, as long as my thing is to bring it to your notice, the rest the management can decide what it wants. But somehow, that to me seems like the red flag every quarter after quarter. Low growth, low EBITDA, and, so that's something I think we should seriously look at. Yes, Indus, you were going to highlight the numbers for the latest quarter.
Yeah. Indus.
Coming on to Indus, Bhavuk, Indus had a revenue of 14.1 million this year with EBITDA of close to almost same, like 14% the company-wise EBITDA. This is the performance for this year for Indus. Last year also it had close to, although the EBITDA was a little lesser, say around 12% last year.
This quarter, what was the EBITDA and the revenue?
Revenue for Indus is 14.1 million this year with a 14% EBITDA.
No, I'm saying quarter, for the quarter.
Okay, the quarter number, just hold on for a sec. The quarter is 3.64 million. The EBITDA is less this time. Bhavuk is around 7% this year because some, kind of project got postponed to next quarter. So EBITDA has a little fallen down. So in the 3.6 million is the revenue and EBITDA is around 7%, 6.7%.
Okay. And the last question was generally a more philosophical question on the growth trajectory and how do we remain on a high growth trajectory? We are focusing, I understand, by selling off the non-core businesses, and just wanted to know that what are the things for the growth plans?
Bhavuk, I want you to be I want you to know that we are aware and we are driven by growth. So for growth, there are two areas. One is inorganic growth and the other is organic growth. On the inorganic growth, we are adding more staff in our domains that we have, some specialists that will help us add more value into those offerings that we provide in those verticals. So that's something that's seriously going on. We've also added some more salespeople. On the inorganic area, we are looking at a couple of opportunities and which probably will help us get more profitable growth. And they also will not probably need more cash. So dividends have been paid because the need for cash has not been there. We evaluate the investments that are required. And then we reward shareholders like you.
Hello.
the biggest shareholder. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you're rewarding the shareholders, but it is an outsized reward. I mean, this is not a sustainable. If you're going to pay out more cash than you're generating, and you realize what I'm saying, that you have paid out in the year, like if your earning is 6.14 EPS, including the exceptional profit, is 6.14 is the EPS. And even if you put 1 rupee more for the 7.14 is your total cash generated, okay? And out of that, you paid out 5.85 rupees and then you put the 15% tax on that. You're almost talking 7 rupees you've paid out in terms of dividend and the tax on the dividend. So what I'm saying, that means that a company which is not only not needing cash, but is getting rid of its cash, what it does have. So that was somehow, and on top of that, we did a buyback is a 6 crores, and which we are, you know, going slow on. But that's fine. I'm saying value that gets created for the company by a buyback and what it generates in terms of overall the thing, a very small amount of investment, but impact is very high. And then it gives us a currency in our hand for acquisitions, which is our share price, you know. So I feel that, I mean, that is, I as a shareholder would love to see growth. The dividends are more of a, I mean, it's okay, there must be some shareholders who are excited about dividend. But for me, I'd rather hold the Apples and the Googles of the world that are growing without really paying out much dividend. So I just wish and hope, my thing is to wish you all that you can get into a really high growth mode and find verticals and find opportunities that are profitable, aggressive growth. So, and from my side, whatever I come across any opportunities, I'll bring to your notice. But in general, that is what I hope you guys are working toward. And wish you all the best. I mean, it's been a great year, no doubt about it. But I don't think we're going to get very often this combination of rupee depreciation, you know, and everything coming like in that sense will not happen very often. We'll have to come up with growth and, you know, because we have to, like Nan mentioned, 8 to 10% increase in salaries. If that's a given, then we also either have to get from customers that increase, commensurate increase, or look for growth. And I'm sure you're well aware of all that. So I'm just repeating my things on those. Congratulations once again to all of you, and all the best.
Bhavuk, we always value your feedback. And we will be a growth-driven company. And on the buyback of shares, you know, it was some of our shareholders who had also insisted that we buy the shares back. So which is why we did that.
No, absolutely. And I'm one of them. I even the last call, and I'm very happy with that buyback. You're doing 6 crore. I mean, what I was meant to say was, which if it didn't pay out, and the buyback has a much better impact on terms of, but anyway, that is a academic thing which I can keep shouting hoarse about. So, again, once again, I want to congratulate all of you for a great year. And I'm hoping that even with the sale of Cento and everything, you can maintain the revenues at around this, at least 110, 120 million level for the current year, so that we don't, become a company that loses the revenues, even if we have sold some of our divisions. That's my wish for the year.
I think that is our wish also. Good. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we don't have anyone in the question queue now.
I want to thank all of you for joining the conference and providing such valuable feedback. I want you to know that the feedback that you give us is considered, and we always work on that. Thank you for joining the conference once again, and have a good day to all of you.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities Limited, that concludes this conference.